you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
What's up, everybody? You are watching slash listening to the Command Zone podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jimmy Wong, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, first timer on the show, but long timer here at the Command Zone, Gaurav Galati.
Hey, everybody, I'm Gaurav. You might know my work from the Command Zone, among other things on the internet, but I do pretty much all the ads here at this point. So if you see any of our awesome ads, I'm the one to blame.
Yeah, you're the one editing them, putting the mouths on top of the cards and all that good stuff. So yeah, really awesome to have you here, Gaurav. You also play Commander, correct?
Of course, yes. I love Commander. Yes.
Okay, quick quiz. What's your favorite color?
My favorite color is blue.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, that's fitting because today we're talking about a blue deck. It is the Midnight Hunt pre-release called Undead Unleashed.
Ooh.
Very spooky, right in time for Halloween and the holiday season. So as always, we take these pre-cons and we do a small exercise with them to add in 10 cards, take 10 cards out with a total budget of around $30, which is pretty exciting. And Gaurav, you were the one that went in on this and went deep on this deck, right?
Yes. And I was very excited to do so. Innistrad is absolutely one of my favorite planes, if not my absolute favorite plane. Nice. So I was very excited to get a crack at the zombie deck. So
yeah. So before we get into it, though, we've got to talk about our sponsors. If you are looking to purchase cards, pre-cons, any of that good stuff, make sure you head on over to channelfireball.com/command. Zone. That is our affiliate link. They also have a brand new marketplace with tons and tons of retailers selling all of your Magic singles products that you would need, and again, at a very competitive price because it is a marketplace. So everyone's trying to beat each other in the prices and drive prices down, which means that you, the consumer, the buyer, the person that's playing Magic cards, gets the best deal. And all throughout the month of October, they're also doing giveaways. Josh and I signed a bunch of foil soul rings promos from the Magic Fest of Yonder. Is Yonder? Is that the right word?
Yonder's the right word.
Okay, cool. And the have an even cooler gift at the very end. You might be able to win like a Black Lotus. So make sure you check out the Channel Fireball Marketplace and support our new affiliate. The other sponsor for the show, Ultra Pro, they obviously make all of the product that goes on the tables and as well over your sleeves. And with all this brand new art as well, like the new Arlan Cordar with those cool showcase frames, Ultra Pro has the exclusive license to print those on playmats, including the cool secret lair arts, all that stuff. So if you want to get any of that stuff and make your battlefield awesome, Ultra Pro is the place to go. And finally, the most direct way to support the show is directly at patreon.com/commandzone. And we shout out one lucky patron every week. So this week's episode is dedicated to Rafael Pico.
Rafael Pico.
Thanks, Rafael.
Thank you.
You rock.
You rock.
Okay, so let's dive right into the main topic, Rav. It is Undead Unleashed, the budget upgrade guide. So as always, the rules are very simple. We're only allowed to take 10 cards out and put 10 cards in. And the total budget, we want to keep these in a budget range that is affordable on top of the pre-con. So it's around $30. And almost always, we leave the mana base as is. So let's start off with the commander, the face card on the deck, as well as there's one other commander in the deck that might work as the commander. But let's start off with the one that you get and you see right when you buy the product.
Yes, the cover commander is Wilhelt the Rot Cleaver. Wilhelt. A strange name.
Wilhelt. Wilhelt is holding a rot cleaver.
Yes.
By the looks of it.
Wilhelt reads, he costs two, a blue and a black. He's a 3/3 legendary zombie warrior.
Mm.
Whenever another zombie you control dies, if it didn't have decayed, create a 2/2 black zombie creature token with decayed. And decayed is a token that reads, it can't block when it attacks, sacrifice at the end of combat. Mm. It also has another thing at the bottom here. At the beginning of your end step, you may sacrifice a zombie. If you do, draw a card.
Wow. Okay, so one common theme that we've been seeing with all of these new precons is that the face commanders typically have the words "draw a card" on them.
Yeah, can't complain about that. That's awesome.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
So this is actually a really interesting card. Obviously, it's a zombie-themed deck. Kind of reminds me of Game of Thrones, you know, that bluish color.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
But this says, whenever another zombie you control dies, if it didn't have decayed, you make a 2-2 black zombie creature with decayed. So almost every single zombie, including 2-2 tokens that are just regular zombies, don't have decayed. This is just so that when you get a decayed zombie, you can't sack it to make another one and infinitely make more zombie tokens. So if you didn't have decayed, you get one with decayed. And at the beginning of your end step, you can sacrifice a zombie, which will create potentially a zombie with decayed, or you can sacrifice a zombie you have with decayed, and you get a draw card.
You could also sacrifice Wilhelt, because he is a zombie.
That's right. It's a zombie, not another zombie.
Yeah. Which is really good, actually.
Yeah, I'd say that's actually really interesting in a case where you just absolutely need to find an answer or something and you don't have any other zombies to sack. Wilhelt himself can get sacrificed to his rock cleaver.
In a pinch. I think we have enough zombies to fill the graveyard, though, as we will go through and see.
Absolutely. So the other card that's buried within the deck that is a legendary creature from the set, it's brand new, is Eloise Nephalia Sleuth. If you can guess what she's sleuthing out, what kind of token she creates, you get a cookie. It's a 3 blue and a black for a 4/4 legendary creature human rogue. Wait a minute, you're not a zombie.
Yeah.
Whenever another creature you control dies, investigate. So you create a colorless clue artifact token that has 2 mana, sacrifices artifact, draw a card. It also says, whenever you sacrifice a token, surveil 1, which means you look at the top card of your library, or the top 1 card in this case. You decide whether or not you want to put it into the graveyard or leave it on top.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Surveil is a very, very good mechanic, and especially good for decks that want to fill up the graveyard, which this one obviously does. It's filled with zombies. So.
Yeah, very much so. It's interesting because Eloise kind of synergizes with Wilhelt, but not the other way around, because it's whenever another creature you control dies, so it doesn't have to be a zombie, but she does get to make a cool clue token to investigate, to sleuth it out. And sacrificing tokens might happen a lot with Wilhelt because the zombies he makes are decayed and those are tokens. So that means you get a surveil one each time, maybe fill up your graveyard. So both of these, I'd say, are actually really strong commanders for a zombie-themed deck, even though Eloise is a human rogue.
Yes, yes. But she has the flavor. She's sleuthing some blood. It looks like she's on the trail searching for Wilhelt. Like there's a story being told.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if Eloise is trying to look for Wilhelt.
Yeah.
He's not hard to find as he leads an entire army of zombies
has
around.
A glowing blue Cleaver, yeah, he's not hard to find.
All right, cool. Let's take a quick look at the stats. Nice, he killed it. So as far as ramp goes, this has 7 ramp spells. Mm-hmm. You're a blue player. Blue doesn't really have access to much mana ramp, does it?
Yeah, it's mana rocks or bust most of the time. And there's not really different here. There is a black card in here that I might not have on here, but it's basically, it's a new card that was printed for this deck.
Mm-hmm.
And it is black ramp. I think each of the commander decks are getting their own sort of ramp card that's in their color, which is awesome. Like, I'm totally cool with that, especially for colors that don't get much ramp like blue.
Yeah, and black has had cards like Black Market in the past and stuff, but it doesn't have traditional, you know, just green get lands out ramp. So a lot of the ramp here is just a lot of mana rocks and then some things, I think, tied to zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, card draw wise, this deck is doing much better. It's got 12 different sources of card draw.
Yes.
But I've seen in a lot of decks where the commander itself draws the card, that actually counts. It almost feels like it counts like 3 card draw cards.
Absolutely.
Because you just need to have one in your opening hand, and you always do if your commander draws cards. So blue doesn't have any problem drawing cards, right?
Yeah.
Now, as far as single target removal goes, we have 11 sources here, but we do have to be a little careful because some of these kind of overlap with the wipe effects that we talk about later on. A lot of effects in this deck are edict effects. Mm-hmm. And so those are cards that make other opponents sacrifice creatures. So it's an interesting thing because you have like a Fleshbag Marauder. Does that count as single target removal? Well, if your opponents aren't playing many creatures, it almost does. So 11 is a little, it's a little deceiving. It's not actually that high.
I think the most direct single card removal in this deck is Go for the Throat, which is by no means bad. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like the most direct one that's in the deck.
Yeah. All right. Board wipes. There are 4 types of board wipes in here. But again, we have to be careful because they're not actually full board wipes. So you want to talk about some of the cards that we included in this just so people can understand how we broke it down?
Yeah. So Ravenous Rotbelly is the first one listed here. And Ravenous Rotbelly is 4 and a black for a 4/5 creature zombie horror. When Ravenous Rotbelly enters the battlefield, you may sacrifice up to 3 zombies specifically. When you sacrifice one or more zombies this way, each opponent sacrifices that many creatures.
Okay, so you can sacrifice the Ravenous Rabelli to itself.
Yeah, so that's one already.
And this at that baseline, it's 5 mana, sorcery speed, make everyone sacrifice one creature. That is not a board wipe.
Yeah.
But you sacrifice 3 creatures, and everyone else has to sacrifice 3 creatures, that might be a board wipe.
Yes, that's actually pretty good. And there are a bunch of cards that are already in the deck and cards that we're going to add on later that will make sacrificing even better.
Right.
So it's pretty decent.
Not to mention Wilhelm and Eloise both really like things getting sacrificed. So you can see where we look at this and go, it's not actually a board wipe. It doesn't say destroy all creatures on it. But in this deck, if it's doing what it wants to, this will more often than not get rid of a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And hopefully you're killing decayed zombie tokens and not this cool 4/5 zombie horror that you just dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Another board wipe that we have in here is Aether Spouts, and this is a very typical blue board wipe. It's 3 blue for an instant. For each attacking creature, its owner puts it on top or bottom of their library. So this is just a mass bounce.
Yeah. It's not super exciting. It'll drown a player for one turn, but it'll only do it to that one player. So you really got to pick a moment to play this and to get the max value out of it. You really want as many creatures as you possibly can.
Yeah, and it's tough when you're holding up 5 mana if you don't have other things to do with that 5 mana. Let's say you had a cool counterspell or a card draw spell, then great. Aether Spouts is a plenty fine card to hold up. But I found a lot of games, it's like, all right, I'll swing at you with one thing and it's going to do this much. I'm like, okay, I'll just take it.
Yeah, exactly. And this deck tends to be more aggro than most decks, so right. You usually won't be holding up this mana for anybody else, because they're probably gonna be very afraid to attack you most of the time.
Good point. All right, and then another card similar to Ravenous Rotbelly is one that viewers of the show should know. It's Butcher of Malakir. Works a lot like Dictate of Erebos. Whenever this or another creature you control dies, each opponent sacrifices a creature. So this, in a pinch, can create a board state where you sack 5 things, and all of a sudden everyone's board disappears except for your own. But we consider that a board wipe as well.
Yeah.
And then Zombie Apocalypse is a board wipe, but it's only killing humans. So yes, it's conditional, but at the very least, you get some value off it by bringing all your zombos back.
Yeah, it's more likely you're playing this to get all the zombies back.
Yeah.
More often than not, than to kill humans.
So if you look at the stats, I'm actually not too impressed, because blue and black does seem to get a little hamstrung when it comes to ramp and board wipes here.
Yeah. There's definitely other cards you can add onto this that would make it better, but especially for wipes, I feel like a Damnation would be great here, obviously.
It would be great. An amazing reprint as well.
Yeah.
But that card I haven't seen running around in quite a while now.
It's been a while.
The closest we got is Dam, but that card can't go in the Commander deck because it has white in its casting, in its text box as well. So, yeah, I think the stats here aren't amazing, but more importantly, this deck does seem to be very zombie-focused, and it looks like it's got a lot of cards dedicated to that. And that's probably the majority of the deck, which we will be talking about as we go into the notable reprints and the strongest cards in the deck. So let's talk about the deck value.
Yes.
Now this was exciting. The last deck I did with Ashlyn was not very exciting. The total of the reprint value was very low. But when we do this exercise, we look at the deck before it's been previewed and what the prices were prior to it coming out to see, okay, what is the total value of the reprints in this deck? And do you want to reveal that grand total to everyone this time around?
Yeah, it is a whopping $132.55.
Wow. Now, obviously, this has gone down probably by a decent amount since the deck has been announced, because these cards are being reprinted. But the Strixhaven average was $88.
Yeah.
And Coven Counters was at $73. So that's almost $60 more worth of cards just in the reprints, not even counting the new cards like Wilhelm or Eloise, because we don't know what those prices are when we do these exercises.
Yeah, this deck is bonkers in value. And honestly, when I was doing the add or remove card thing, it was actually very difficult, because I was talking to Jordan Pridgen, another person who works here, one of our writers, and he was like, add this card. I'm like, it's already in the deck. Add this card. It's already in the deck.
Oh,
like,
amazing.
They put so many good cards in this deck already. Like,
yeah.
It's wild.
Zombies has been one of those very supported themes in Magic throughout, for all of its history, because Liliana, one of the main characters, loves zombos. We've seen them quite a bit. Turns out turning things undead is pretty common in Magic the Gathering.
Pretty common, yeah.
So let's talk about some of those cards that Jordan may have mentioned. Notable reprints. These are all cards that were worth more than $2. There were 18 total, which is actually really impressive. And typically, the cards that are worth $5 or more, we see like 2, 3, 4. There were 11 cards
Yeah.
before this deck got printed that were about that $5 level, which is crazy to me. I've never actually, I don't think we've ever seen value this high before.
That's so good. That's so good. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I was going to pick up a deck right now for the value alone, I think this would be the pre-con I'd be looking at.
Absolutely.
The number one card that has now dropped significantly, but was really priced up there, was a card called Endless Ranks of the Dead. Do you want to read it?
Yes. Endless Ranks of the Dead is two and two black for an enchantment that reads, at the beginning of your upkeep, create X 2/2 black zombie creature tokens, where X is half the number of zombies you control, rounded down.
Ah, so if you have four zombies on the battlefield at the beginning of your upkeep, you make two more 2/2s.
Yes.
If you have five zombies, you also make two more 2/2s because you're rounding down.
Yes. I'm mixed on this card because it seems good, but if you have three zombies, you make one.
Ooh.
And it's like,
for four mana, and you have to wait for a whole turn cycle.
Yeah, and Commander is a game where like big board changes happen all the time, so I feel like you're not going to get great value. It feels like a win more card maybe, but I don't see this lasting on the board very long.
Yeah, and if it does and starts to spiral out of control, a board wipe really resets quickly because then you go back to zero zombies and Endless Ranks of the Dead does nothing, or someone removes it. But this might be one of those enchantments that like slyly sticks by for just a couple of turns and gets you enough value and you need sacrifice fodder. Mm-hmm. A lot of the cards we've seen that are printed in specifically the yearly Commander sets, as Endless Ranks of the Dead originally was, have shot up in price. The most notable, of course, being our good friend Dockside Extortionist, because they only get printed that one time. It's not in the standard set, so you don't see a lot of it. So this was actually sitting at $18, which is pretty crazy.
It's wild. Yeah.
I didn't expect a card like this, especially in a tribal theme, to be so much, but it does have power, I think, if you're able to really work your way in the board state that likes it.
Yes.
The next card is, speaking of the planeswalker we mentioned earlier, Liliana Death's Majesty, who is hanging out in Amon Khet, getting served by sparring mummies and all that sort of thing.
It's my favorite piece of art for Liliana.
Oh, I love it. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. It reminds me of Tassigar with the banana.
Yes. Yeah.
So this is 3BB for a planeswalker with 5 loyalty. She can create a 2/2 black zombie creature token and then mill 2 cards, which we'll find out very later is integral for this deck. And she can -3 to return a creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield, and then becomes a zombie in addition to its other types. So for 5 mana, you can almost automatically get a creature out of the graveyard or just create one and mill cards, which sometimes is equatable to card draw in this deck.
Yes.
I love Liliana.
Yes.
This was sitting at $9.
Yeah, which I found as a surprise. I was like, oh, I guess it goes in every zombie deck, I suppose, but I guess it didn't print it enough to $9. Yeah.
I think the general the major thing about planeswalkers that just shoot their value up is if they can defend themselves when they come down.
Yes.
And this one does that. It goes up to 6 loyalty, which is pretty high, and it creates a blocker. If it was a token with decayed, they can't block, wouldn't be as great.
Yes.
But this does everything that this deck wants to do, so it's a great include in the deck.
Very good.
The next one is kind of the penultimate zombie card in blue. It's Rooftop Storm. It's an enchantment. You can pay 0 rather than pay the mana cost for zombie creature spells you cast. 6 mana is a lot, but when you do land this card, you can just dump your whole hand, and if you have a card draw engine, you can just keep going, which is pretty awesome. This was sitting at $8.
This needed a reprint badly, I think.
And it was reprinted in a Commander set, but again, those Commander sets aren't as proliferated around as much as standard sets are, so that's why prices can kind of shoot up. This next one is really good in the deck, I think.
Yes, this is Dread Summons. It is X black for a sorcery that reads, each player mills X cards. For each creature card put into a graveyard this way, you create a tapped 2/2 black zombie creature token.
Okay, sorcery speed, you put like 6 into this, everyone mills 6 cards, and you might make, I don't know, let's take an average, let's say at least half of each player, so 3, 6, 9, 12, I'd say anywhere between like 9 and 12 zombies for 8 mana.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good, especially if you have stuff to do with them.
Yeah, and that's pretty good.
Milling is, again, very good in this deck. We'll talk about some of those cards later on.
Yes, especially cards that mill not only you, but everybody else.
Everybody else, yeah.
It's good.
And that was at $8. And the next one's Dowargraph Colossus. I think this card's seen play in some older formats, especially like modern or maybe even further past that for like zombie decks. It's a 2 mana and a black 2/2 enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter for each zombie card in your graveyard. So the combo is Dread Summons into Dowargraph Colossus, comes in as like a 7/7 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then whenever you cast a zombie spell, you create a tap 2/2 black zombie creature token. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, zombie that makes more zombies. I mean, it's literally a zombie made of zombies, so.
That's a good point. Yeah. It literally is.
It's a disgusting giant made out of zombies.
I've never looked closely at this art, and I don't want to again. Those fingers are terrifying. The next is a card that I remember getting really excited about back in the day, especially for all the Vorthos lovers out there. Mm-hmm. Want to read it?
Yes, this is Gisa and Giralf. It is 2BB for a 4/4 legendary creature, human wizard. When Gisa and Giralf enters the battlefield, mill 4 cards. Ooh. During each of your turns, you may cast a zombie creature spell from your graveyard.
Wow. So it's nice when every single reprint we've talked about all work with, we've talked about 4-5 cards that have been reprinted now.
Yes.
Every single one of them like works well with each other.
Yes, yeah.
Which is why zombies are so powerful. There's a lot of synergy there.
Yeah, zombies is just, it's such a flavorful tribe because the graveyard just being named a graveyard makes it so flavorful for having these zombies come back and forth.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I never really think about that sort of stuff because I've been playing for so long. I'm just like, it's the bin.
Yeah.
It's the GY. It's not like the graveyard where actual zombies go to resurrect it. Or the cemetery, like this next card, Cemetery Reaper. It's a lord, 1BB for a zombie that gives every zombie creature you control other zombies +1/+1. And they can pay 2BB to tap it to exile a creature card from a graveyard.
Very important.
Very important because it can be anyone else's. And then you make a 2/2 zombie creature token.
Yes.
So very good. That card was at $6.40. This next one, I'm glad that they're reprinting it. I hope we get to see a cycle of these very soon in some sort of set, a commander set or an auxiliary set or whatever, because they're pretty important for a commander.
Yeah, let's just print all mana rocks into the ground. Let's have as many of those as possible.
Yeah, make them easily accessible so we can worry about the other parts of our deck, because this was $6 up until this reprinting.
Yeah.
It's Talisman of Dominance. 2 mana, tap it, add colorless, or you can tap it to add blue or black, and it does a damage to you. Again, you have 40 life. The damage shouldn't be significant. If you're blue and black, you need to be playing some ramp on turn 2, and this is probably the best way to do it.
Yep, yep.
We're going to shoot through the rest of the list here. Cards like Zombie Apocalypse, we talked about, Death Baron. These are all just very good zombie cards. Tainted Isle is a really good land for 2-color. Gravespawn Sovereign is fun, a little costly. Army of the Damned, the classic card to put 13 to 2-2 zombie tapped creature tokens on the battlefield, or you can flash it back.
Mm-hmm.
Go for the Throat, like you said, is actually, it was up there.
Yeah,
it's a very efficient.
Yeah.
Target non-artifact creature, you're going to get rid of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Also, that art looks more like a vampire, though, right?
It kind of does, actually. Hmm. Yeah.
Flavor win or flavor loss? Unclaimed Territory is also really, really good. It's like sort of like a budget Cavern of Souls.
Right, yes. For tribal decks, this is probably an auto-include for pretty much all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad that we're seeing more of this. Mm-hmm. And it seems like Wizards has been giving us a lot of tribal recently, so this is a good one. And then Open the Grave, it's one of my favorite. Just make a bunch of Zombos whenever any non-token creature you control dies. And Temple of Deceit and Soul Ring, of course, always sitting at around $2.
Yeah.
Okay, so when it comes to the reprints, I think this deck did a great job. All the cards are in theme with the deck. It also has like some powerhouse cards like Butcher of Malakir, which can go into a lot of different decks.
Yes.
So I was pretty happy overall. What'd you think?
Yes, no, I was pleasantly surprised with all the zombies that are in this deck and all of them that are actually like, if you were building a zombie deck from scratch, you would include 90% of this deck.
Yeah.
Like, it's very good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good point. Maybe if you already have a zombie deck and you just want a single place to just get a lot of options to choose from, this would be a great place to start.
Yeah, the commander and the sub-commander, I think, are both very good for any zombie deck as well.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so when it comes down to who you would run as commander of the deck, would you had to choose between Will Helt, the Rot Cleaver, and Eloise Nephalia Sleuth.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd you pick?
Well, I'm going Will Helt for sure. He creates an engine that adds more and more zombies to the board that you can sacrifice for more effects. And if you don't have a decayed zombie, he will get you one out of nowhere. And as you'll see with the changes I've made, making more zombies and then killing those zombies, either yourself or having someone else kill them, is actually very beneficial to this deck.
Cool. So. And of course you get to draw cards.
Oh yeah. Don't forget about drawing a card.
Yeah. Eloise lets you draw cards too, but it has to be done the hard way, which is sleuthing it out. And
yeah.
Who wants to work like that these days?
Yeah.
Not me.
Not me either.
Okay, let's quickly talk about the best cards in the deck.
Okay.
Now, obviously, we mentioned a bunch of them, and I think some of those cards do deserve a mention, but let's just start off with what we think some of the best cards are. The first one that I chose is Undead Augur. We didn't mention it, but it's just black for a 2/2 zombie, and then whenever Undead Augur or another zombie you control dies, you draw a card and you lose a life.
Yep.
So this is probably going to be every single card in your deck if it dies, or every creature at least. Will Helt works really well with it, and it's just a way to keep you going, because if you're creature-based and you run out of cards, you're in the bad spot.
And it doesn't say non-token, so.
Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah.
Really, really important.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, yeah, I was kind of always have to keep track of that these days.
Yes.
If it says non-token or token.
A lot of times I'll read a card and be like, oh, cool, and then it says non-token. I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Good. It just like lowered itself a little bit in your head. You're like, ah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, maybe I won't use it this time around.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So Diagraph Colossus, as we mentioned before, is very good. It's a zombie that makes more zombies. Corpse Auger, we also mentioned. Did we mention this one, actually?
I don't think so, actually. This one's great, especially with the cards that mill people like Dread Summons.
Yes, yes. Corpse Auger is 3 and a black for a 4/2 creature, zombie wizard. There's a lot of zombie wizards in this deck.
True.
When Corpse Auger dies, you draw X cards and lose X life, where X is the number of creature cards in target player's graveyard. Usually it's going to be you, but on the case that it's not, like, hey, you draw the most cards no matter what.
Yeah, yeah. Like Craig plays a Carador deck that is constantly binning things. Anyone that just has a healthy graveyard, this is great early in the game and late in the game, unless you don't have any life. But hopefully you're a high left life total that doesn't kill you when it dies.
Yes, exactly.
But drawing cards, especially when a card like this can draw you like 5 or 6 cards, pretty awesome.
Yes.
Rooftop Storm, we mentioned again, lets you cast all of your zombies for free. Big thumbs up from us. I think Eloise is one of the best cards in the deck too, even though she isn't a zombie, because you will be sacrificing tokens to let you surveil. And as we've seen with many cards already, putting stuff in the bin or the graveyard is a good place to be.
Yes.
I also really like this one because it's a win condition. And this deck kind of, we haven't talked about it, but this deck kind of needs a way to win that's not just 2/2s on the ground.
Yes. This is Eternal Sky Lord, which is 4 and a blue for a 3/3 creature, another zombie wizard. When Eternal Sky Lord enters the battlefield, amass 2, which amass, if you don't remember, is you put 2 +1/+1 counters on an army you control. If you don't control an army, you'll make a zombie army creature, which is just a token that's a 0/0 and you add that many counters. And then it also has zombie tokens you control have flying.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Because a lot of times I found, have you played any Midnight Hunt on Arena yet?
I have. I played a sealed pool. Yes.
I've been making a lot of decayed zombie tokens and they'll just sit there because the opponent has a 3/3 and a 5/5. And it's like, darn, well, I can't swing with them. Yeah. And if I do, they're going to die at the end of combat. So I just leave them here.
Yeah.
And they can't block either. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
So Eternal Sky Lord, I think, is one of those cards that you get to play it. And then all of a sudden, your zombies get to go in and just poke someone out. You know, take them from 15-0, thanks to all the flying that they have.
It's a good one.
This next one, I think, might be one of the best card names ever.
Yes. Ghoul's Night Out.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
What are we up to tonight? We're going out.
Ghoul's Night Out is 3 and 2 black for a sorcery that reads, for each player, choose a creature card in that player's graveyard. Put those cards onto the battlefield under your control. They're black zombies in addition to their other colors and types, and they gain decayed.
Okay.
Now, this targets you as well, so you get 4 creatures. Which is really, really good. And they become zombies, which is very relevant to your decks.
Yeah, because if those zombies die, you get triggers. Mm-hmm. If things happen to them, they get buffed by the other cards in your deck. But this is crazy because you can just steal 4 creatures. Well, 3 creatures and 1 out of your own graveyard. You're going to be milling people. The thing that makes this card really good is that you'll be getting stuff that you don't care it has decayed because you may never swing with it.
Yes.
So Consecrated Sphinx.
Yeah.
Or Elish Norn.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's got to be the worst one. It just sits there as like a zombie Elish. Yes. Norn buffing your whole team up by even more. Yeah, so Ghoul's Night Out, they're definitely having a lot of fun, even if they're decayed. Even if you would steal like an Eldrazi, well, there's only a few you can take, but if you take a massive creature and swing with it once, you still got a lot of benefit out of this.
You even got an ETB trigger, probably, that's very good as
well. Yeah, yeah,
so.
Typically, I've seen cards like that reanimate things out of other people's graveyards are like 5 mana for 1.
Yes.
And that's not great.
5 mana for 4? Pretty good. Sign me up. I'm in.
Pretty good. I'm definitely getting signed up for the Ghoul's Night Out.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have an Etsy page, if they have reservations or how it works. I don't know what they would sell on their Etsy. The last best card in the deck is probably Death Baron. It gives all skeletons and zombies you control +1/+1, and they have Death Touch.
Yes. I don't think there are any skeletons in the deck, but not relevant because just about everything else is a zombie. So.
Yeah. And I'd say a decayed zombie with Death Touch is much harder to block.
Yeah.
So, and especially if the best use for these creatures is half being sacked and half being attacking, then giving them Death Touch and flying and all these sorts of effects seems to be pretty good.
Is there a zombie creature in Magic that when it dies it makes a skeleton token?
Oh,
like the skeleton jumps out.
It like comes out and it's like, oh, thank goodness I don't have that fleshly body anymore.
That one's for free, Wizards.
That one's for free. Yeah, it's called the Reassembling Zombeleton.
There you go. Yeah, so it's a very original name.
Yeah, very, very nice. Okay, so we talked about the value. We've talked about the reprints. We've talked about what you would run as the commander. The next most important part is actually taking the cards out of the deck and putting in brand new ones.
Yes.
But before we get into it, we have to take a quick break and hear from our mid-roll sponsors. That you edited.
I did. Enjoy.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the show. Gaurav, that was great. What commercial do you think we just watched?
Probably one for Raycon or Keeps.
Nice, nice, nice. I don't think I need Keeps anytime soon.
I'm getting there.
Every time you edit one, you're like, oh no. Do I need to get this product too? Well, thank goodness I get 10% off with this promo code.
Too real.
Okay, thanks for sticking around. We are now going into the Undead Unleashed upgrade section where we talk about the cards to add. My favorite part, because you got full control. I can't wait to see the cards that you chose. So remember, audience, our total budget for this was around $30. So 10 cards, average cost of $3 per. I see that you actually added one in here. That's a little bit more, but it's great because the rest of them aren't that bad, which is
great. Yes, I did. And the thing about these prices are, I did this like end of last week, and prices are always in flux. So like, asterisk.
Always an asterisk.
Yes, always an asterisk.
All right, so take us through your ads. What's the first one up?
So the first one is Plague Belcher, which is a 2 and a black for a 5/4 creature zombie beast. It has menace or menace.
Thank you.
When Plague Belcher enters the battlefield, put -1/-1 counters on target creature you control. And it also has, when another zombie you control dies, each opponent loses one life.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what I've, this is going to show basically what I'm going for with this deck is I'm sort of shifting it to an aristocrat strategy, which is also why I dressed very fancy today as an aristocrat.
Very nice. Welcome.
So Plague Belcher is the first of a few aristocratic things that I've added to the deck, because as we've seen, this deck loves death triggers. It loves them. It makes more zombies that add more death triggers. So I figure, why not ping for some damage while you're having those death triggers go off?
Yes, very much so. Especially, like I mentioned before, if you can't get in for the win con of hitting people with your creatures, you got to kill them other ways or get them close enough that you can play a card that gives them flying or whatever that gets in for that last bit of damage.
That always seems to happen with aggro decks, especially creature heavy ones, that they just like sort of stall out because they just don't have a way to get through the damage, and this will get around that. Cards like this will get around that.
I especially like this because, you know, if you only have Plague Belcher, it comes in, it puts the counters on itself and becomes a 3-2. Yeah. So it's a 3-mana 3-2 menace with this great effect. But if you have a decayed zombie that can't attack, you can just stick it on there.
Yeah.
Kill it. Maybe you draw a card. Maybe you do something else that reflects wise, and you can actually use the decayed zombie, and Plague Belcher becomes a 5-4 menace, which is actually kind of a menace on the battlefield.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very, very good.
Yeah, I like this card a lot. Amon Khet had a lot of zombies. Thanks, Bolas, for nothing. What's this next one? I like this card a lot, too.
Okay, next one is, it's not a zombie card, but it's going to function as an aristocratic strategy. It is Bastion of Remembrance. This is an enchantment for 2 and a black. When Bastion of Remembrance enters the battlefield, create a 1-1 white human soldier creature token. Humans are just zombies that don't know it yet, so it's fine.
They're in the timeline, right?
Yeah,
it's can't peer through time itself, but they'll eventually get
they're
to
gonna
being
land
a zombie
on the board and realize they're in the midst of a zombie outbreak and then die immediately or get sacrificed.
There
it also reads, the more important part, it also reads, when a creature you control dies, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life.
Nice.
So this is another aristocratic card that will help not only deal damage to your opponents, but give you some life gain, which this deck sorely lacks.
Yes.
There's a lot of cards that you pay life into, especially in black, to draw cards or do other things, and this will make those sacrifice effects a little less painful.
Yeah, you wrote a couple of them down here. Feed the Swarm, which is black's only way of removing an enchantment, and Corpse Augur, which I mentioned earlier, is one of the best cards of the deck.
Yes.
They will damage you over time, so Bastion of Remembrance is a great way to just completely offset that and hurt your opponents at the same time.
Yes, it's very good. Just ignore the human part, okay? It's fine.
Yeah. They're on the way to being a zombie. You know what? I heard this wise saying once, you know, we never stop clapping. The time between our claps just get longer. So all humans are also zombies because they're just going to eventually get to that point. They just don't. They haven't gotten there yet.
Whoa, that's too deep for a Monday. Ooh, hey.
You also wrote down what I like, which is it's hard to remove Bastion of Remembrance because it's an enchantment.
That's very important.
Yeah, it's not like a Blood Artist or anything like that that you can just point some removal at or get rid of in a fight.
Exactly. Speaking of fights,
it's Kel's Fight Fixer. 2 black for a 4/3 with Menace. It's an Azra Warlock. Now, of course, we want zombies, but this one's pretty sweet. Whenever you sacrifice a creature, you may pay blue or black. If you do, draw a card. Okay, that's pretty awesome.
Pretty good.
Seems to work really well with the commander. And then you can pay 1 mana to sacrifice a creature, and Kel's Fight Fixer gains indestructible until end of turn. So just for 2 mana, you can pay 1 to sacrifice a creature, and then you'll trigger a bunch of different things, I'm sure. But you'll also be able to draw a card if you don't have those other effects on the table. So it's a really cheap way to do it. It seems like a card that can just stick around, and it protects itself if someone tries to go to remove it.
Yes, it's very, very good. And this deck also lacked like some actual good sac outlets.
Right.
I have a few others here that we're going to go through, but this one does the double effect of it can sac things, and it does draw you cards, which is always good.
Yeah, they're not tied to each other. So if you sacrifice a card with any other cards, like the ones we're going to talk about here in a second, you can still pay that blue or a black with Kel's and draw that card.
Yes.
So I love this next card. I have no idea why they didn't put this card in the deck.
Yeah.
It is a perfect include.
Yes, it feels a bit silly. They didn't include Carrion Feeder, which is a single black for a 1/1 creature zombie. Carrion Feeder can't block. Oh well. Sacrifice a creature, put a +1/+1 counter on Carrion Feeder. So this is a no strings attached sac outlet that is probably easily to get back because of the zombie and you have a zombie deck. So
yeah. Most importantly, you don't pay any mana to do so. Kells, you have to pay 1. There's a lot of sacrifice outlets that like pay 3 and tap it and sacrifice a creature. This you can do at instant speed at any time. So if a board wipe comes, you can sack a bunch of stuff with your Carrion Feeder. You draw all the effects off it in response to stuff, which is why it's so important.
Yes.
And it's a zombie on top of everything else.
Yeah. And the art is really cool too.
Yeah. And at a certain point, this might be the beater, right? You could get this up to like an 11-11, give it flying, give it Menace, whatever, and then blammo. you're gonna hit some faces.
It's totally possible.
This next one is expensive, but it's only because it's played in legacy formats, but it's very good in this deck. It's Gravecrawler. It's a 2/1 creature zombie. Can't block. Who cares? You may cast Gravecrawler from your graveyard as long as you control a zombie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is probably going to be like 90% of the time you'll have at least one.
If you have a Phyrexian Arena lying around, this is just infinite triggers of a Gravecrawler coming in and out of your library because you sacrifice it for one black mana. If you don't, you can just pay one black to bring it out and you'll almost always have a zombie on the battlefield, and then you can sacrifice it, do whatever you want with it, crawl with it, run with it, and gain some effects.
Yeah, with your commander out, if you have one black, you play this every turn and you will draw a card by sacking it because
good
you
point.
Just do it over and over again.
Yeah,
why
yeah.
not?
And you, if you have ways to sack it multiple times a turn, like a Carrion Feeder, you can just pay black multiple times, sack it a bunch of times, draw maybe 3-4 cards as much as you have black mana. That we've seen just how good that kind of effect can be.
Yes, yes. This one is called Master of Death is the next card, and it is one colorless, a blue and a black for a 3/1 creature zombie wizard.
There it is.
There it is. When Master of Death enters the battlefield, surveil 2, which is, as we've known, pretty
good
in this deck.
Very good.
At the beginning of your upkeep, if Master of Death is in your graveyard, you may pay one life. If you do, return it to your hand.
Okay.
So you can repeat this creature ad nauseum a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it a lot. You can get it back quite easily, and then it surveils every time it comes down, which will fill up your yard.
Right, and you're going to want to toss creatures like Gravecrawler and so many other things in there. So, Master of Death, it's a brand new card from Modern Horizons 2. It didn't get much love or fanfare when it came out, but I think it's because it's very specifically for zombie type decks.
Yes.
So I like this quite a lot.
Yes, I'm a big fan of this one. I'm excited to see how it plays out in the deck.
Yeah, Surveil 2. Again, surveilling, very good.
Yes, surveil, very good.
Next one, I'm a big fan of this card. I want to see it in more decks. It's Liliana's Standard Bearer, 2/1 for a 3/1 zombie knight with flash, very importantly. When Liliana's Standard Bearer enters the battlefield, draw X cards, where X is the number of creatures that died under your control this turn.
Yep. As we've said, death triggers, very important in this deck, so you can save this for your turn where you sacrifice a bunch of creatures, or if you get a board wipe that happens to you, you can bring this out and still draw a bunch of cards.
Yeah, it's a great way to hold 3 mana up. You have like 6 zombies out. Someone blows up the board. You knew it was coming. On the end step, you flash out Liliana's Standard Bearer and just draw a casual 6 cards.
Something like that, yeah.
It's also a zombie, so you can totally see this deck has the capabilities with these adds, especially of coming back from board wipe. So it's really resilient, as long as no one's exiling a graveyard.
Yes, just about all the creatures, save for like one or two, are zombies that I added because it needs more zombies.
You need more zombies, absolutely. Yeah.
Speaking of zombies, here's another one.
no way.
Noxious Ghoul, which is 3 black-black for a 3/3 creature zombie. Whenever Noxious Ghoul or another zombie enters the battlefield, all non-zombie creatures get -1/-1 until end of turn.
Wow, this is a board wipe.
This is
much better than the other board wipes that we saw too.
Yes, it is a one-sided board wipe. And to note, this triggers when any zombie enters the battlefield for anybody.
Oh, so another opponent could play a zombie or a changeling and then blammo, everything gets -1/-1.
Yes, yes.
That's kind of cool. I like that.
Your zombies will be totally safe and fine.
Yeah, so if you have that Gravecrawler loop going, you could pay one black multiple times, and then blam, you've given everything -3/-3. That would just clear out the board.
Yes.
So that's very good. Also, the art is fantastic.
Yes, this is some old school art on this one, and I love it.
Yeah.
I would definitely want it on a t-shirt.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I didn't realize this next creature that you put down as a zombie.
Yeah, which is...
And it's amazing, because I've seen this card get played a ton of times. We have nicknames for this card.
It's Gary.
Gary.
It's Gary.
The Merchant of Asphodel. It's 3 black-black for a 2/4 creature zombie. Again, I don't know how I missed that. When Gary enters the battlefield, each opponent loses X life, where X is your devotion to black, and you gain life equal to the life lost this way.
Yes. So as I mentioned earlier, this deck, I think, needs a little bit of help gaining life back after all the effects that you're using to pay life. And this one, on its own, on an empty board, will gain you 6 life off the bat.
Right.
Because they will lose 2 each. You will gain that much life.
Yeah, and that's actually cool because it's old wording. They don't word things like this quite the same anymore, where you gain life equal to the life lost this way. We saw it in like Kokushu and other things.
Yes.
Typically, it's just like you just gain 2 life. But in this case, you're gaining 2, 4, 6 by itself
because
it's got 2 devotion to black.
It can be a win condition as well if you get enough things out that have that devotion and the game's, you know, getting to near the end where everybody has like 10, 12 life.
Yeah.
It's just you're never going to be sad to see Gary.
Yeah, and you'll be happy with him in the graveyard because you have ways to reanimate it, get it back onto the battlefield, and blammo, maybe just instantly wipe everyone out at one time.
Yep.
The last card is a classic.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bolas's Citadel. 3 black-black for a black-black-black for a legendary artifact. You may look at the top card of your library at any time, and you can cast, or you may play the top card of your library, so you can play lands. And if you cast a spell this way, pay life equal to its converted mana cost or its mana value, rather than its mana cost. And then you can tap and sacrifice 10 non-land permanents to make each opponent lose 10 life. So that second part of it where you tap the boss to sail the sack stuff doesn't happen that often, but it's totally win condition, especially if a ton of zombies.
Yep.
And you just get card draw, card advantage. It's amazing.
Yes. So the thing you can do with this is a small infinite combo. Just a little bit.
Just a small infinite, yeah.
With this in play, along with Rooftop Storm, your entire top of your deck, if you have any zombies, you just play them nonstop.
Right. For zero, and you pay zero life.
For zero. Really good. Now, if you have any of those effects that are aristocratic, like Bastion Remembrance or Plague Belcher, the ones that when zombies die, opponents lose life. If you have Gravecrawler and just another zombie, you can just reoccur and sacrifice Gravecrawler and just wipe out everybody.
I see. I see. That's right.
So it is, I mean, by itself, it's already a very powerful card. But in addition with Rooftop Storm and some other cards in this deck, it is very
this
good.
With Rooftop Storm, you should be able to win the game right there.
Pretty much.
You don't need to have a fancy sack outlet. You just are able to cast your zombies for zero and then recur them, sack them a bunch. So that's cool. That's really nice to see. I think it's like a four card combo to get everyone to that death point. But that's still not a bad, you know, two card infinite combos. Sure, this is a pre-con upgraded. So the fact that it has that, I think it's great. We need more win conditions in decks. We need ways for games that are going on too long to be like, cool, we did it.
Yes.
Everyone shuffle up.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So those are the cards that we are adding there. Mm-hmm. I love these choices. I think Noxious Ghoul might be my favorite out of all of them.
Yeah,
that
it's one a good
set
one.
Board wipe. Yeah, it's a really good one. Yeah. Of course, if you're going to add in cards, it means you got to say bye to some of your favorites as well. So let's talk about the cards that we took out.
Yes.
And you made a note here that just about every card you're removing are non-zombies.
Yeah. I think I only took out one. No, I took out a couple zombies, but they were just not as good as the ones I put in.
Yeah.
But the first one I took out was Curse of Unbinding, which is an enchantment or a curse for 6 and a blue enchant player. At the beginning of enchanted player's upkeep, that player reveals cards from the top of their library until they reveal a creature card. You put that creature card onto the battlefield under your control, then that player puts the rest into the graveyard. So you get a random creature every turn for 7 mana, and it's
seven
like...
7 mana, oh boy.
It's not great. It's okay.
To me, this says we need to print an Aura Curse, because we have more of those coming out now, and the place to do it is in the blue-black deck, because it's got blue in it.
Sure. In the Curses deck, this is perfect. In this deck, I don't know. It doesn't, if it made them a zombie, I'd be like, oh,
right, yeah.
Yeah,
turned it into a black creature zombie in addition to its other types, yeah, maybe. But in this case, it just seems like a curse for curses' sake.
It could also be decent in a mill deck, because it does put the other cards into the graveyard. So if you play this against a player who doesn't play many creatures, maybe that's like half their deck gone or something.
Yeah. But 7 mana is quite steep. So I agree that it's definitely too expensive, a little too random.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't want it.
Yes.
Unless you maybe put it on yourself. Can you do it yourself?
You can put it on yourself.
Okay.
That is true.
So that's a potential option there. But again, I don't see that happening too often.
Yes. Yeah. Because then you have to wait for another upkeep trigger. So like, all around.
This next one seems like on paper it's good because it's got a sack outlet. It's got two types of sack outlets on it, but it's 7 mana. It's the Eater of Hope and mana bases. 5 black for a 6/4 flying demon. You can pay a black to sack another creature to regenerate it, or you can pay 2 and a black to sacrifice 2 other creatures to destroy target creature. So 3 mana, 2 of your creatures gone to blow up another creature is removal, but it's not very efficient.
Yeah, and it's a demon. It's, you know, it's not a zombie. And It's just not there. It's just not what this deck wants to do.
I agree. I think the deck needs to be really hyper-focused, and the more it sort of extends itself into the big haymakers and bombs, which is typically what pre-cons are trying to do, it's not actually getting you closer to a sort of like an overall synergistic strategy.
Yes.
Now, this next one I think is a sneaky card, because I think a lot of people would say, no, this has to be one of the better cards in the deck.
Yeah, and I could go either way with this. Honestly, this one's Gleaming Overseer. It's 1 blue and a black for a 1/4 zombie wizard. When Gleaming Overseer enters the battlefield, amass 1, and then zombie tokens you control have Hexproof and Menace. Menace.
Wow, Hexproof and Menace, but only zombie tokens.
Yeah, which is like, you know, so the other card that is similar to this that we already have in the deck is Eternal Skylord, which is far better because it gives them flying.
Yes.
Way, 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 way better. Hexproof on tokens, like, do you really care?
No, I unless you're strapping up the tokens with a ton of equipment and stuff, you are right. I don't think you care. Now, the Menace might be a little more relevant.
Yes.
But I think Death Touch is just better because you don't even want people to block, you know, especially because a lot of the tokens you're making have decayed. and those having hexproof means nothing.
Yeah.
So I'd say if you went the full token route, like with a bunch of Diagraph mm-hmm. Colossuses and that type of an effect, then this Gleaming Overseer would be better, but I can totally see why you might take it down this deck.
Yeah, it was just a little weaker compared to everything else I was putting in.
Yep. Next up is Haven Ghoul Runebinder, who's definitely not a zombie. It's mm-hmm. 2 blue for a 2/2 human wizard. You can pay 2 in the blue and tap to exile a creature card from your graveyard, and then you create a 2/2 black zombie creature token. Then you get to put a +1/+1 counter on each zombie creature you control.
I'll tell you, it's similar to a zombie that it is too slow.
Yeah, 4 mana to get this down, and then another 3 mana. That's almost your entire next turn. You don't have as much flexibility there. This makes sense to me that you don't want to be doing this too often.
Yeah.
The +1/+1 counter is attractive, but it does feel a little win more too.
I think there's a different kind of zombie deck that does include this, but because it does make zombies and makes them bigger, but you're always sacking your zombies, so you might not get the full advantage of tokens. Plus, it's exiling creatures from your graveyard, which most of the time you want them to come back. So.
And if you have creature tokens that like decayed, those aren't going to your graveyard as creatures you can exile, so you might actually be taking out things that you don't want to get rid
of. Exactly, yeah.
Makes sense. Next up, this is not a zombie.
Nope, it's Liliana's Devotee. It is 2 and a black for a 2/3 human warlock. Now, it is a sort of a lord. Zombies you control get +1/+0.
Okay.
And at the beginning of your end step, just yours, if a creature died this turn, you may pay 1 and a black. And if you do, you create a 2/2 black zombie creature token.
Ooh, 2 mana just to get a zombie?
Yeah, that seems like...
Especially when your commander's already making them?
That seems like fair magic. Like, yeah. A little, almost like, it's so fair, it's unfair. Like, it's not great.
This seems like a limited deck all-star.
In limited, great. But like, here, it's an easy drop, I think. It's not a zombie. It sort of makes zombies for a pretty expensive cost, I think.
I mean, just comparing this to like Liliana's Standard Bearer, I would 100%, and it's not even close, I would take that over a card like this.
Yes.
Next up is a dragon, definitely not a zombie. 4 blue and a black for a ruthless death fang, 4/4 flying. Whenever you sacrifice a creature, target opponent sacrifices a creature.
So, you know, this seems pretty good, especially in a deck that wants sacrifice a lot, but Butcher of Malakir is already in the deck.
And yeah.
For 1 more mana, you get Butcher of Malakir, which is by far...
Everyone sacking the creature.
Yeah, by far way better.
Yeah, you can't crowd that end area of your mana curve.
Yes.
Because that's definitely the kind of thing that I think has led to a lot of heartache, especially with new players.
Yes, it's not a zombie. And, you know, to be fair, Butcher Malakir isn't a zombie either, but it's a vampire. It's getting this close.
That's very true.
They're in the same plane. They're good.
Very much so. All right, next up we have Spark Reaper. It is a zombie.
This is a zombie I pulled. It is 2 and a black for a 2/3 zombie. You can pay 3 and sacrifice a creature or planeswalker you control to gain 1 life and draw a card. It's just too much.
3 mana.
Too much. And, yeah, 3 mana and a creature.
Yeah, I remember playing this in War of the Spark Limited and just hating how much it cost to do the effect.
Yes.
It was just way too much.
If it was 1, I'd keep it. 2, maybe.
I mean, 1's pretty good. 2 is definitely maybe.
Yeah.
Next up is Hour of Eternity. XX blue, blue, blue. You can sorcery it out. Exile X target creature cards from your graveyard. Mm-hmm. For each card exiled this way, create a token that's a copy of that card, except it's a 4/4 black zombie. So if you pay X is equal to 1, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 mana to make a 4/4 black zombie. That's a token copy of it. If you want to make X is equal to 2, that's 2, 4, 5, 6, 7 mana for 2 4/4s. It's a lot of mana. It's very expensive. I think you're just looking to be a little more reanimator than using an Hour of Eternity to grab stuff out of your deck, right? But I could totally, again, see this doing work.
Yeah, this is another card that I think maybe in a different deck would be better. But again, it exiles your creatures, and it only makes 4/4s that are zombies and have their abilities, but like,
Some ETBs, potentially. But sure. We talked about a lot of these cards. Outside of, like, Gary, there are not that many that I think have amazing ETBs. You're looking more to get... bonuses from what you have on the board, right?
Yeah, if you're paying 7 to 9 mana to get 2 or 3 creatures, you want to win the game off of that, and this probably just won't do it.
Good point. Next card is also 7 mana. It's Overseer of the Damned. It's a demon, not a zombie. 5 black black for a 5/5. When it enters the battlefield, you can destroy target creature. Okay, that's a very expensive removal spell.
Yeah.
And whenever a non-token creature in the opponent controls dies, you create a 2/2 black zombie creature token.
Yeah, so you get a zombie when you play this card because you kill a creature. It's a 5/5 flyer. It's not a zombie. It's a demon. Man, it's just a little too expensive for what it does.
Too clunky.
Yeah.
And the last card you get rid of is Stitcher Geralf. The sisters, Grolf and Geese, are in here, but yes. Not just the brother.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're brother and sister.
Yeah, okay. I believe they're, yeah.
3 blue-blue for a 3/4. You can pay 2 in the blue to have each player mill 3 cards and then exile up to 2 creature cards put into graveyards. This way, you create an XX blue zombie creature token where X is the total power of cards exiled this way. It's not even copying the creatures.
I love the flavor of it, of him stitching 2 creatures together to make 1 creature. That is cool.
Very cool, yeah.
But again, a little too slow. Just like Haven Glow Runebinder, it, I think, goes in a different deck.
Cool, cool. All right, so those are the 10 cards in and the 10 cards out. Notably, when we went through the deck, we found that it actually had 40 lands in it.
Yes.
So you might be able to take a couple of those out, replace it with either Mana Rock, or you can just add in some, you know, lower mana value cards, or maybe keep some of the cards that you thought that we said to cut and see how they work out for you.
Yes, make it yours.
Yeah. So how does this deck play? And that's the last thing we usually talk about, these pre-cons. It seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, yeah. You make zombies, you have them die for, you know, good
glory.
Causes of, yes. That you think are good, at least for you.
For Liliana,
yeah. For the value of them, for the value
there
god.
You go.
You make others suffer because of their death.
Yep, there's a lot of zombie matters cards in here. There are some lords, there are things that buff up your tokens, there are things that buff up your other zombies. And it just seems like you're trying to make it really hard for your opponent to defend against you. You're going to pick on someone that has a smaller board state because you have someone to swing those low 2/2 black zombie creature tokens at with decay. Hopefully you just get through, punch through a lot of their defenses and lower their life total while simultaneously doing it with your aristocrat's effects.
Yeah, I would say for this deck or any kind of deck like this, you want to pick one person at the start and just kind of like finish them off before you move on to others, because if this thing spreads out the damage, it's not going to do that well, I think.
Yeah, I agree there, unless you have so many triggers off of your aristocrats type stuff that you can take everyone from hero to zero.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, great job. I really enjoyed the ads and the outs there. The listeners, do you think that we did a good job with the Undead Unleashed pre-con? Is there anything that we missed? Any cards that you think that we should have kept in that we didn't? Or any cards that you would suggest that we add in or disagree with? Let us know. You can find Garov. He's also on Twitter. We love to continue the discussions online, on the comments, wherever else. As long as everyone keeps it civil, we can have lots of fun talks. And of course, if you want to pick up this pre-con, head on over to channelfireball.com/commandzone. Check out the Channel Fireball Marketplace, the brand new place to get all of your Magic singles and products. We're so happy to have them as a sponsor of the show. And you're going to guarantee that you're going to get a high quality service from a certified vendor, as well as a great price when you're looking for those cards to upgrade your decks. Not to mention, in the month of October of 2021, because who knows when you're going to watch this, there are going to be a lot of giveaways for the opening of the marketplace, so you could win them. And big thanks to Ultra Pro, as always, for supporting the show with their playmats, deck boxes, sleeves, and all that good stuff. Okay, moving on to the end step.
Yes,
we talked about something cool outside the world of Magic. Grav, you brought something today. It's pretty exciting. I want to hear you wax poetic.
Here we go. Now, it is football season, so it also means it's fantasy football season. Don't tune out yet.
Stay there.
This isn't going where you think it is. I'm not talking about the NFL. I'm talking about a game called Blood Bowl, which is the game of fantasy football, where fantasy races play football in the Warhammer fantasy universe.
Not like fantasy that you've heard of where you draft players and all that stuff. No, we're talking about actual fantasy.
No, you are going to be the coach of a team of, say, the orcs, the elves, the dwarves, whatever. I pick the undead, very flavorful because of this deck, but I love the undead, so I pick them, and that's what I've been playing recently. But it is a tabletop board game that you can get from Games Workshop. But they also have a digital version on Steam and on some consoles, which is how I've been playing for the past 8 weeks. We've been in a league that is coming to a close at this point, and it is very fun. It is. It takes a little bit to get the rules right, but once you do, the flavor of football is truly represented in this game, and it's much better than regular football because you can actually injure the players, and if you're really lucky, you can kill a player.
Oh, now keep in mind, this is all fantasy. We're not saying it's better than regular football because you can kill people. No. It's definitely not. The fictional elements of this is what make it fun.
It is fantasy football in the best way.
In the Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like, wherever your fantasy is, Warhammer, all that stuff, yeah.
It's all similar. They all got the same sort of races, but when you play in a league, your stats carry over, so you can level up players and have a little story with them. You name them, you number them, and then if you lose them in week 5 to a bad dice roll, you won't be so mad. Or maybe you won't.
Did that happen?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, no. Was it your hero undead?
It was a mummy. It was a big mummy, and he fell down and didn't get up.
And then someone stepped on like one strand of his mumminess.
He got fouled.
And he tried to run away, but it just unraveled his whole thing.
It was really bad.
Yeah, what was his name?
His name was Rahadin.
Rahadin, rest
in peace. He was named after a Curse of Strahd character. But anyways.
So sad. But the physical version has miniatures as well that you can paint and all that stuff?
Yes, physical version has miniatures that you can go to your local game store and buy. And they have a nice little two-player starter set you can get that has orcs and humans comes with a rule book. It's super fun. Highly recommend it. Go check it out.
All right, well, best of luck to you in your league, Gaurav. And a big thank you to everyone else here at the Command Zone team. Arthur Meadowcroft, Lady Danger, Manton Lung, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Alfred Estaca, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nan, Jordan Pridgen, Jamie Block, Sam Walda, Gaurav Galati, and Truck Ty.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh. Yeah, always done it one breath. That's how I stay. That's how I impress myself these days.
I'm impressed.
And big thanks to Jeffrey Palmer, as always, for doing the living card animations. I believe he did this one of this amazing swamp. And you can always find him on Twitter or the animations that begin the show at Living Cards MTG on Twitter. So thanks, Jeffrey, as always. All right, Gaurav, good job.
Hey,
high five.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was
Undead
wonderful.
Undead forever.
Ooh.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.